Hello everyone, I am Mirta Hurtado Rivas. No VIPs or rock stars, just simple people sharing their life stories to trigger discussions around important topics, or simply to inspire us to embrace challenges ourselves. Welcome to Leaderching. Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Leaderching. Today is World Mental Health Day. And this is really an important day. I know every other day is also important, but this one is important to us, to the Leaderching community, because we want to continue to raise awareness about mental health and well-being. You may remember that in May, we had gathered the community around a set of three questions, and people had chimed in with their personal experiences and their thoughts about mental health issues and well-being. And based on that, we want to continue the dialogue about mental health because we know that the biggest challenge we are facing in this area is stigma. And we believe that just having a conversation about mental health, creating space for us to talk about it, is the one first step and a very important thing to do to really get to a better place with respect to mental health issues and well-being. I'm super excited because today I have two of my already kind of second time invitees to Leaderching. Mamta Jha, who has already joined me, and she was one of the early ones to share her story with respect to diversity and inclusion and gender equality. And also Yixin Chen, who is probably, you know, the new generation coming up in our profession. So very happy to have you both here. And I'll just say, let's kick it off and start directly with our first question. Mamta, we have been discussing this topic now for several weeks, actually, and even before that. And you said something that really resonated with me. And you said, it's really important to understand what mental health is. Could you maybe share your thoughts as to why you believe this is so important?
Yes. Mirta, to take this initiative and to create awareness by speaking more about it. For me, mental health is extremely important, particularly in this changing post-COVID era, I would say, wherein people have just been isolated in the home and been kind of double, triple responsibility, much away from the society, friends, family. Not the extended family, but in the immediate family. So mental health, basically, of your mind to take challenges with positive emotions. We need to understand what are those positive emotions, the enthusiasm, the joy, the sense of achievement, the sense of appreciation, the sense of bonding, sharing. All these are very important, and I would say for good mental health, which compromise when you isolate yourself in the from your society, family, and friends. So I think it's a very important topic, Mirta, which you are touching upon.
Thank you so much, Mamta. And I think you also mentioned to me that sometimes there can be kind of a mix-up between mental health and mental illness. And you said, here again, you said, it is really important to separate both things. Just making sure we are not saying that someone who is mentally ill cannot have a normal life. It's the same as when you have a physical illness, right? You can still have a happy, healthy life if you have the support to do so. So we're not trying to exclude anyone, but we are trying to really make a point as to why we believe it's important to separate both. Can you share your thoughts on that?
Yes, and it's a very important differentiation which we need to understand, because if we mix it up, this causes one of the biggest taboo not to talk about mental health. Because while mental health refers to the state of psychological well-being, mental disorder and mental illness is a medical diagnosis of psychiatric conditions. So these two are quite different from each other. One can have a severe mental disorder on account of untreated, long, unattended mental health issue. But talking about mental health, we are talking about a person who is able and capable to address it just by talking about it, sharing it, and addressing it by being aware of it, that I need some help, or my mental health is being compromised, or a friend or family addresses it. So mental disorder and mental illness are working in a totally different spheres. If you consider mental health as a mental illness, it becomes a taboo, you get into cocoon, and we are not able to address it timely.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And Yixin, you know, from your perspective, when it is about the stigma part, the taboo part, what is it that you experience, or what is it that you see, you know, across your generation happening? Do you see a change towards, you know, between your generation and ours, or what in general are your thoughts about this taboo or stigma that we are confronted with when we speak, or when we need to speak about mental health?
Yes. So if we see over the period of time, our social, economical, and financial status have changed drastically, from the joint family to nuclear family, then from corporate culture, and then staying away from your native city, and so on and so forth. There are several factors. You know, like I consider there are five kind of healths which we need to have a balanced life. And physical health, we all are aware of. Spiritual health, we consider religion as spiritual, is something very different. Your professional health, your social health, we all are aware of this and we work towards it. But we tend to forget to have a good physical health, to have a good social health, to have a good professional health, and have a good spiritual health, you need to have the master health, which is your mental health. I called it a master health, because unless you have a good mental health, neither you are going to have a good physical health, nor you can appreciate the spiritual health, having a social good health, or a professional health. So I always call that mental health is the backbone of the entire, your well-being. A completeness in your life or in your surrounding can only exist if you have a sound, good mental health.
Excellent. And I can hear the passion there when Mamta shares it with us. So I think very well understood, and I couldn't agree more. I think, all of these things come together. Yixin, maybe you can share your perspective on this.
I completely agree with what Mamta and Mirza said earlier. I think that there is no health without mental health, because there is no on and off switch to our mental health, and that in our lifetime, not all people will experience mental illness, but all of us will experience or struggle with some challenges on our mental well-being. It's just like we all have our challenges to our physical well-being. Growing up, my grandma used to tell me that you will not have your happiest or saddest days for a very long period of time, because life is consisted of cycles and ups and downs, and the same is with your mental health status. And me as a millennial, which is a cohort of people born in 1980s to 2000, I do think that gradually people in our generation care a lot more about mental health these days. And I think that's because in the pandemic, and me, I have a confession to make, I only grew to learn about mental health in the pandemic because I spent a lot of time by myself. I've experienced some challenges and noticed it because life seemed to have slowed down. And there are some really, really great conversations happening on social media, in particularly with respect to the stigma in association with mental health. And I think I learned a lot on different types of stigma and how do we combat those stigma.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that, and also the personal note about your own experience during the pandemic, which I think is true. A lot of people started to re-examine as to how they were living and which place mental health played for them in their journey through life and through their, you know, professional development. So, Mamta, I think one thing that comes to my mind is, what role does our environment play, you know, as to defining mental health? And you know, is there a correlation between our upbringing? How much of, you know, how much of how we tackle mental health issues, or how we feel and how, where we put the focus, will be defined by our upbringing and by our later development? What can you tell us about that?
So thank you, Mirtha, for this question, because mental health starts, the brain in the child starts forming in the womb. And that's where the mental health starts, you know, showing up. You will see many child are very cranky when they are born, and many child are very happy child, you know. Why it is so? Because something has happened in the womb, and the brain has developed in certain dimensions. Now, there are scientific data which says that brain is developed of a child, and the personality along with is developed based on the social, economical, physiological conditioning and the surrounding the child up to the age of 5 years. And remaining 40% of the personality is developed by the child itself, addressing the challenges in its social circle, in the school, in adolescent, during the friend circles, and then in profession. So if a child has been taught, and when I'm saying it's taught, means the parents are either observing, so they watch what's happening. If the child has seen economic, you know, like challenges, the two earning of the two bread is the challenge, then the food becomes, and food insecurity comes. You will find somebody is very insecure, even if they've grown, they have everything, but the insecurity of food comes. Likewise, you know, access to life, it can be an emotional issues. You know, the child was not given sufficient attention, love, care, and it was like the parents are working too busy in earning the bread, and child is being compromised on emotional health. Then emotional issues crops up at a later stage. Any sense of or less appreciated, you know, in the school or in the childhood, you are less appreciated. So even a small rejection triggers those mental issues, which are very deeply rooted in your personality. And it's very different, because we all are coming from such diverse background with such different financial, you know, religious, psychological environments, and we have all learned differently to address the challenges in our life. So absolutely, your surrounding plays huge role right from the birth till we grow and till we continue living in a particular, we learn how to handle it. But how we respond and react to certain situation, a lot has to be with how we have been nurtured, in what circumstances and in what environment.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think it's really important here to realize that traumas can be created, right? And trauma can be big or small. But if we don't address mental health, what we are doing is we just continuously build trauma upon trauma upon trauma, because we don't go back to the early traumas and try to figure out what is it that makes us react in a certain way. Why it is that we get stressed out by certain events, certain reactions, like non-recognition. Why do we so strongly react to that? Or why is it that we aim so strongly at being recognized publicly or by our professional environment, when actually we could be content by telling ourselves that we did the best with what we have and can do? So a lot of those things come together, and thanks for bringing this up. I would like to turn now to Yishan, because we have been talking during the last couple of weeks about millennials, but also about Gen Z, so Generation Z, and you know, and I think that there was this belief that because it's the younger generation, that they just cope better with things because they're young. And we now today know that that's not necessarily the case. Yishan, can you share your thoughts to the brief discussion that I just had now with Mamta, and to what you think about this, you know, younger generation and their struggles?
Yes, I think earlier we talked about millennial, and for Gen Zs, they're even younger. They are born roughly between 1997 to 2012, and they are the first generation that's completely being raised with the internet and smartphones. And they've grown up with a very different experience than the previous generations. While you may think that, oh, technology has made our lives so easy and convenient to ask for help, but technology itself could also be a barrier. What I'm more referring to is, for example, on social media, people talk about, oh, you know, we should bring awareness to mental health with their friends. But will people really talk about it with their employers? Is there a safe environment to tell, say, my superior, hey, I'm really feeling not well, I'm feeling depressed, I lost my motivation to work today? I think that's still an area that could be worked on. Yes, we have more voices in raising awareness, but because we are still relatively new blood in the workforce, for Gen Zs and for millennials, we're becoming the pillar of the workforce. Some of us may feel safe or stable enough in our current position to ask for help or just to tell people about the problems that they're experiencing.
Thank you. So I think there is a connotation there that I would like to pick up on, because you mentioned technology and you mentioned the fact that Gen Z, they're really the first ones to really have, you know, being brought up with this technology. I think when we started discussing what we will be doing for Mental Health Day, I think I at least went through this process of being almost lost by the multitude of information that there is out there and the multitude of kind of different directions that the discussion can take. And that's why we said, let's go back to the basics and let's look as to what mental health is. How can we define it? How is it, you know, how is it that it impacts us and it leaves an imprint in us? Is how we are brought up. Because even the fact that we have all those apps where we learn to meditate, where we learn to, you know, kind of do the same as we do with our, let's say, food diet, we can have now apps guiding us through our spiritual diet, so to say, helping us to have more awareness and consciousness about our well-being. I still think that it's not that easy, right, to really say my mental health status during this week, month, is having an impact on my productivity. Yeah. And Yishan, I would like you to maybe pick up on this, you know, efficiency, productivity, because when we think tech, we think higher efficiency. So it goes hand in hand that we think that maybe millennials and Gen Z should be able to do more, not to do less or not to do, you know, we don't think they should do differently. We say they should do more. So how can you relate to that kind of, you know, the efficiency, productivity versus our space for mental health care?
So I'd like to pick up on what you mentioned earlier about the technology. Yes, technology makes it easy for people to seek help, to meditate, to stay calm. But it also, it's so convenient for people to overwork. It promotes overworking. What I'm saying by that is, for example, there were years where all I wanted to do was to work because I was ambitious. And the life was so easy, digital life was so easy because I order food online. I don't spend time to go to grocery. I don't really need to go on walks. And cleaning services and all other services that help me to focus on work is just one tap away. So with that kind of mindset, I thought it's helping me being very productive at work. So I'm putting in more time into working. But with that more is better mindset, because the way I was brought up is you always exceed expectations. You always do more. That's how you achieve success. But then as time goes by, that led to a burnout because I was too obsessed with the productivity idea that I ignored everything that's going on around me. There was no creativity in my writing. It just working and writing emails became a chore and automatic reaction to different issues. And that's when I realized this has to stop. I have to take a break and think about new ideas. And then I came, and you know, we probably all have some shower thoughts or thoughts that we have in our long walks. And there is studies on that, because when people are most relaxed and people's mental and physical being are not putting on pressure, we tend to become more creative and tend to let our thoughts flow and have new ideas.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing that. And I think, you know, even though we know that after a 40-hour week, after hour 40, our productivity goes down. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I said this during the other episode that I was recording with Marek and Najat as well, I said, we need to stop lying to ourselves and think that we are the unique ones that are an exception to the rule. I think we just have to be humble enough to just admit that we are not that special, but we are as human as others. And we just need to acknowledge that we need that creativity part that comes with relaxation, feeling well, and taking time off to actually go back and really be productive, right?
Yeah.
I would like to turn to you, Mamta, because for me, this question of doing more is better has also a lot to do with the definition of what we think success is. And I would like to hear your thoughts on that, because I know that you and I have spoken about this, and I really think you have a good angle on this, what is success and how can we define it in a better way for ourselves?
So success has different definition for different people. Now, picking up for myself, and I think many people will resonate with this. When we come from a very small town, you know, success means that you have to run that extra mile, do everything, you know, the most. If people are working 10 hours, you have to work 14 hours. And believe you me, I have worked 20 hours in my initial days. My daughter was 2 years old and I was working 18 hours because it was so high. And back in the mind, we were so conditioned that, you know, you are coming from a very small town. To have a success, to have that financial recognition, to have that social recognition, to have that professional recognition, everything, you have to run that extra mile. And it was so, so tough. It is also imposed, you know, but during the journey, when you grow more and you mature more, despite the fact that I have been doing meditation and I'm quite conscious and aware being, even then I was in that trap. I'm calling it a trap because that's not success. Success today, as on today, when I have done all that, what means to me, because life is a journey. How much mindful you are, how much happy you are in whatever you are doing, that's it, is the success definition for you. Are you happy working? Are you happy at home? Are you happy with your family? Whatever makes you happy, just do that and things will unfold for you. Believe you me, even if I had not done 18 hours, I would have been here where I am today. That's my realization. So it's very important for us to become aware that we don't have to burn ourselves, punish ourselves, push ourselves to the extent where you kill all other health. I'm coming back to that point, that mental health is the supreme health. You have to feel joyful to enjoy life. It's very brief. It's a very small time frame. It's a small journey for which we are here. It will be over. And things will go on. The firm will run. The profession will run. The people will take over. You are only here to play an important part, which you have to do being happy, joyful, and for your own fulfillment, not to prove to others. Mm-hmm. So that understanding is very, very important.
Excellent. I think this was a really kind of part already of our conclusion, because we're getting to the end of the podcast. But I think there were a couple of things that you said that really resonate with me. And I think it's, some people think it's easy to say when one is already successful that we look back and say, well, even if we wouldn't have worked the 18 hours, we would still be today where we are here, you know, where we are here today. But I'm also a true believer in that, because I think when I look back, it's not necessarily when I overdid it that I was really being acknowledged for my work. It was in those moments where I did something unexpected, or where I had, you know, ideas or, you know, just going out of the box and just doing things differently. Those things were much more impactful than my 60 hours week or 70 hours week. There was actually, you know, those little moments of insight where you're like, wow, this is how it could work, and we could save time and everyone would be happier, and we would need to do less. Those are probably more kind of impactful in my career than the overtime that I did during many years. So thanks for that. Yixin, I turn to you now, because I know that you just said, you know, you also, even though you're a millennial, you have been brought up with this mentality of, you know, doing more in order to succeed. But you also told us now that you realized that, you know, and I think you said you were ambitious. I think you're still ambitious. I think all of us are still ambitious in the sense that we want to do the best with the tools we have, with the competencies and skills that we have acquired, right? Mm-hmm. The ambition doesn't stop, but I think we look at it in a different way. How do you look at success, and how does that play in with your mental health?
You know, I think what Manta said earlier resonated with me a lot, in which I was conditioned to be doing more because I am also an immigrant in Canada. I was not brought up in Canada. So for me, it was a long journey to blend into the society and compete with Canadian born and raised lawyers in our profession. And I was always told by people that it's like a race. You did not start at the same level. You're a couple steps falling behind because you didn't grow up here. So you have to try harder to do more. Now, on hindsight, I think, yeah, maybe there is some sense in that. But what I would really think is important is to work with what we have, to recognize the uniqueness of our experience and build your identity around it, and not to change your identity to, like, as if I'm a Canadian born and raised lawyer. So after realizing that, I think success for me is to find my unique identity and work with it and make peace with it and shine with it. And also in a pandemic, you know, I not only worked, I did a lot of physical activities, you know, I surf, I play tennis. And I think combining all of things to have a fulfilling life is success for me.
Thank you. And I think you touched about another point right here, which allow me to just spend another 30 seconds on it. But I have a similar experience like yours, right? I'm also an immigrant here. Even though I was born here, I always felt like my name, my physiognomy, everything just tells me you're not really Swiss. And I had also that challenge and a probably traumatic experience to try to blend in, to try to become part of what this is. And I think that had a lot to do with do more. I was also told by my parents, you have to prove, you know, you have to be better than the others, and then you will be recognized. I think it costed me a lot of energy, I lost a lot of time, because I think I could have been focusing on my talents, what makes me different, and what can I contribute to my community, my society, my work, my whatever, right? And I think that really, to me today, makes my life also easier. Also easier just simply because I'm not trying to be someone else. So much energy gets lost in trying to be someone else. Your mental health can be strongly be impacted by trying to be what you think your employer wants from you, what you think that your husband wants from you, what you think that your parents want from you.
Yeah.
When actually, and I think it's along the lines with Mamta's statement and yours, Hishan, is we just need to make sure that first of all, we do what we think is fulfilling for ourselves,
yeah,
with our own personality and our own skills and our own ways of doing things. And afterwards, things just naturally fall into place. But I must say, I doubted that for a very long time. I always thought you have to be as the company expects you to be. And actually, as soon as I was who I really am, it was much easier. And by the way, people who didn't like me before continue to not like me afterwards. So it's not a question. It's not a question of how well you adapt or not. It's there will be people who don't like you in life, and there will be those that love you. And that's fine. We just need to accept that. It's another thing of acceptance. And now I know for some of our listeners, they may say, okay, they're not talking about mental health anymore. I think we still are, because I think self-awareness is the first step in our own journey to mental health. And we need to help others by holding up the mirror to them and helping them being self-aware and recognizing who they are and their uniqueness and how they can contribute to whatever they want to contribute to. They have to define themselves. And hence, I would like to close by saying it was a pleasure, as usual, to speak to both of you. I think we've shared not only some personal experiences, but also some important points on how to define mental health, what is it that conditions our mental health, and also some kind of indirect guidance as to how we can better our mental health, but can also help others. I challenge all of our listeners on October 10th today to spread the word about mental health, to continue to speak about it openly, to create safe spaces, to acknowledge our own histories and share those, to acknowledge also that we can contribute by helping, by offering help, but also by sharing simply as to how we have helped others or how we see others going through mental health issues. The more we speak about it, I'm convinced the stigma will be reduced, and that will guide us to a better way of handling these issues. That, I repeat once more, and it has been said already by others, we all have mental health issues during our personal and professional journeys. With that, thanks so much, Yixian and Mamta. Great to have you on this podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
I hope you liked this episode of Leadaching in English. Don't forget to give us a thumbs up on your respective platform and subscribe to our podcast. See you soon!